Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In my household, we all remember a certain doll, affectionately known as Dental Doll, or Dee Dee, a bright, colourful rag doll with a fixed, sewn-in grin that would accompany my older daughter to many a medical appointment. Dee Dee was such an essential source of comfort to her that whenever she was upset, this said doll would also be alongside her under her unfailingly huge pile or layers of blankets on her bed. A pile that would have weighed heavily, far too heavily for me, but was a source of physical comfort for her. We all have our own habits and sources of comfort, our own comfort blankets, if you will, those temporary material things that make a difference in the moment, enable us to keep calm and carry on. We often have things in our pockets that symbolise comfort, crosses or photos in wallets, physical remembrances and words that carry no meaning to anyone else, yet to us bring a comfort and a reminder we are loved. Today we are offered a different source of comfort in the words of Jesus, lasting words that speak to the soul, comfortable words, sometimes read from the 1928 prayer book and to be shared in our communion anthem today. Come unto me, all ye that travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Such words of comfort that are echoed throughout Scripture, words that seek to encourage, strengthen, and build up in a way that brings respite, hope, in adversity, gives peace, cause to pause, refreshment and rest. At first glance, the tender tone of today's particular verses of comfort appear to sit in stark contrast to the radical challenges of the words we've heard from Matthew's Gospel in recent weeks, of the need to leave parents and siblings, of who and how we must welcome others. And then the consequences of turning our back on God. However, today's words, together with those we've already heard, bring good news that fits part of a whole, for they direct us to a life which embraces God's law as a law of love. In our gospel reading today, Jesus encounters an agitated crowd yet again. Not only are they critical of John the Baptist as one being possessed by a demon, they're disgruntled with Jesus for eating and drinking with the wrong people and far too often. In response, having prayed to God, in thanks for having hidden his purposes from the wise and wonderful of his age, Jesus shares his deep-rooted, compassionate invitation for all of humanity. Come to me, those who are weary or sad, downtrodden, oppressed by the evils of society, and to borrow a phrase from the late Trevor Huddleston, Archbishop of the Church of the Province of the Indian Ocean, have naught for your comfort. Comfortable words which are heard by the Pharisees, whose own lives are weighed down and burdened by the letter rather than the spirit of the law, a law which made the love of God distant and forbearing, inaccessible, rather than one that brought them close to the heart of a father who offered them rest for the soul. In using the metaphorical image of a yoke, an agricultural symbol of servitude and onerous labor for a beast of burden, Jesus offers a promise that the commitment to the labor of the kingdom, the true law of discipleship laid over their shoulders, is easy, by which he means comfortable, well-fitted. Just as a yoke would be personally made to measure for an animal, this yoke is not to be a lifelong burden, but one that is made to measure that fits. It too acts as a guide, a means of connection for those who accept this invitation to follow the way of law as a way of love. Wherever, whenever, whoever we are, come unto me with the burdens of your heart. The things that weigh you down, the things that we fuel and keep us awake, our sins, our ambitions perhaps, and habits, those overbearing pressures, those expectations of our community and society at large, even our religion, the things that burden our souls, that play in our mind, those self-inflicted fears of even missing out and inadequacy, those things that obstruct our belief in Jesus' promise and his capacity for forgiveness, healing, and grace, that even when we cast our burdens on him, we simply pick them up again. So here is the good news. Jesus offers us an unconditional invitation, irrespective of our looks or our rules of life or society or intelligence or even how many times we go to Mass. Rather, Jesus is inviting us to something completely different, for he accepts us precisely where and what and how we are. No exceptions. He calls us to see us as he sees us, in our fragility, yes, and in our brokenness, as his beloved. Our right to a relationship with God is not subject to our own worthiness or goodness, inherent or earned. It's about God's goodness and love and acceptance of us. And there's more. While Jesus meets us all where we are and accepts us for who we are, he does not let things just stay that way. To encounter Jesus is to be transformed, even in the midst of our difficult and most uncomfortable times, in the dark nights of our soul, when we're hurting and drained, and it's hard to love or understand God's love for us. To change, to be transformed, is not to start with deficiency or burden or want, but with love and acceptance. This is why Jesus describes discipleship to him as easy and light. And once we understand we too are beloved, we can make the radical turn to do the same, loving others without condition, welcoming others as Jesus would. In 1835, Charlotte Elliot, author of the words of today's gradual hymn, had convinced herself that her disabilities left her nothing to offer God, and she had distressing thoughts about her sense of uselessness, and it caused her to question her life with God. The story goes that Elliot was struck by the words of a minister who asked whether she had truly given her heart to Jesus. She went on to share she did want to serve God, but just didn't know how. Then came the reply, "Come as you are." The rest, you might say, is history. as she penned, "Just as I am," that famous hymn. And the final verse being taken from her own Hours of Sorrow, Cheered and Comforted. Those familiar words of witness and acceptance that we have just sung, of Jesus' invitation to come to me, has been sung ever since in stadium-filled crusades and in the quietness of a deathbed scene. It's a familiar hymn, offering us all a response that says yes to God. Yes to God's invitation to a way of love. Yes, I am loved. And yes, I will love. This hymn embraces our openness to renewal and conversion. And so today, as we continue in our worship and are invited to communion, and we behold the Lamb of God, might we proclaim afresh in our hearts, "O Lamb of God, I come, I come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.